We're going to need to turn to John chapter 9. That's on page 29 of John's Gospel that you were handed in away. And I realize the print is a little, you know, small. Nothing I can do about that. I'm sorry. But if you need a larger print, I'm sure we can rush one over to you if you so need one. Vicky is going to read all of John 9 to us. We're going to read the whole thing this morning.
As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is his day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed, and came home seeing. His neighbours and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "Well, how then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, so I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now, the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. "What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened." The man replied, "He is a prophet." They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered, "and we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, "I've already told you, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains."
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray briefly. Our Father in heaven, please show this morning that there is nothing more important than listening to you as you speak to us through your word. Please would your word be doing its great work in our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen. With one very simple action, I can turn off, if there was something on it, the telly behind me. Dead easy. And it's just as easy to switch off the telly as it is for us, I'll put it back on, to switch off when it comes to this part of the service. It's going to have the wee box on it. Always has that wee box. You'd think that was easy, wouldn't you? Ha-ha. Dead easy. But it's really easy for us to switch off when it comes to this part of the service. This morning, Jesus asks us a question in verse 35. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Be helpful if you kept your Gospel of John open at John chapter 9. That question, do you believe in the Son of Man? Why is it easy to switch off from it? Well, you might even not even know what it means. And so you think, I'll just switch off. This isn't for me today. Or you might think, I'm already a Christian. I think I get what this is talking about. I'm just going to have an easy morning and switch off. Or you might be thinking, I wish my friend had been here to hear this. But they're not. So I'm just going to switch off. Or you may just switch off because actually you don't care what Jesus says. You're not even sure he existed. And even if he did, what relevance does that play in my life? Please don't switch off this morning. For a few moments, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. And I think this is a question that I've got to hear and think about regularly, every day, in fact. And if Jesus asks a question and the Holy Spirit thought it was important for us to have it written down and recorded, it's worth staying switched on for as we think about it. One thing as we start that I want to notice about this question that Jesus asks, it's a personal question. It's a personal question. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you believe in the Son of Man? This week I was ill. I had to have one of those telephone consultations with my doctor. My throat was pretty sore. I couldn't speak for very long. My doctor did not want to speak to Tricia. Mr. Rathley, I've got some personal questions that you and you alone need to answer. This is a question that no one else can answer for us. You've got to come to a decision. Do you believe in the Son of Man? Now, we had the story read to us that's behind this question. It's the story of a man who was born blind but could now see. That day must have started like any other day for that blind man. He woke up, and guess what? He couldn't see. He couldn't see. There was nothing unusual, I suspect, in his mind about that day where he thought, this is going to be a life-changing day. But everything changed when Jesus walked past and stopped and took action in the man's life. I love the little details of verse 6. Jesus spat on the ground, he made some mud, and he put it on the man's eyes. Now, ever since I've been a little boy, I've kind of always thought, why didn't the man go, that's minging, what are you doing, man? Anyway, Jesus tells him to go to a nearby pool and go wash it off. And what are we told about that blind man? In verse 6, right at the bottom of page 29, so the man went and washed and came home seeing. I love how this miracle is told so easily. So matter-of-factly, Jesus made some mud, spat on the ground, stuck it in the man's eyes, the man went and washed, and he could see a man who had been born blind. He had never seen color or trees or his mum's face or the house. Imagine when he went home and he was like, no way, that's what roast chicken looks like. It would have been amazing. As he took the Lord Jesus at his word, everything changed. But the story didn't stop there. Most of the time in John chapter 9 is not spent on the miracle. It's spent on the kind of the turn and fro between the blind man and the Pharisees and the Lord Jesus. And actually, time is spent on a growing understanding of who Jesus is as the Son of Man. After the man is healed, he gets quizzed. In verse 8, his neighbors, they're a bit divided. Is this a blind man? Is that the same guy? Well, it looks a bit like him. Oh, I don't know. And the man says, doesn't he? No, I am the man. Verse 9. And look what he says about Jesus. Verse 11, the man they called Jesus made some mud. He put it in my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. At that point in the man's mind, there's just a man called Jesus. And then the man is taken to some religious leaders called Pharisees. How about this for a misunderstanding of what had gone on that day? They're annoyed because Jesus had done this miracle on their kind of special Sabbath day. There's a man who's been blind from birth and he can see. They're like, but that was a Sabbath. That can't be from God. And you're like, eh? What? And as the man speaks to the Pharisees, verse 17, they say, what have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he's a prophet. So he's gone from just being a man called Jesus. Now the man thinks he's a prophet. Then the man's parents are called in. The parents confirm it's her son, all right. We know it's definitely the same guy. And then they check it out, don't they? They say, you know, and they're like, well, you know, we don't want any trouble, so he's old enough to speak for himself. You can, I bet a man born blind will say, well, thanks, Mom. You know? Wow, thanks. And they keep quizzing this man who had been blind but can now see. And he's so overwhelmed by the goodness of Jesus and what he's done. And they're saying, he says to these Pharisees, this guy must be from God. In fact, he's probably God himself. And do you want to be his followers? Get out. Get out. And in verse 35, the merciful Lord Jesus finds this guy. Says, do you believe in the Son of Man? Seems like an odd question. Let me pause in the story for a moment as we think about that little title, Son of Man. Because who or what is the Son of Man? In John's Gospel, it's one of the favorite ways that Jesus refers actually to himself. He's the Son of Man. The title has roots in the Old Testament, But it only makes sense when you see the way that the Lord Jesus uses it. In the Old Testament book of Daniel, the Son of Man conveyed the idea of a divine being in human form who acts with all the majesty and power and authority and splendor of God. Okay? In the Old Testament, the Son of Man, some kind of divine being in human form with all the power of God. And in John's Gospel, Jesus just takes that title and says, I'm the Son of Man. Back in chapter 1, Jesus was speaking to a man called Nathanael, and at the end of the conversation, he says this, very truly I tell you, you'll see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. What is he saying to that guy Nathanael about the Son of Man? Well, really simply, he's saying that the Son of Man is the heaven opener. That's one of the ways that the Lord Jesus uses this title, Son of Man. He came down from heaven to enable people like us to get up to heaven. He came down not just to live with us, but to die for us. He was nailed on a cross to open heaven for all who believe in him. The Lord Jesus is the ladder or the bridge or whatever way you want to think about it between us and God. And between God and us. The Son of Man is also the God glorifier in John's Gospel. As Jesus is just days away from his crucifixion. He says in John chapter 12, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. God's glory is all that he is. God's glory is his goodness put up on display. As Jesus walked around, he was constantly showing the goodness of God by the things that he said, by the way that he acted, even as he healed this man born blind. That was God's goodness put on display for everyone to see. And the Son of Man conclusively puts God's goodness on display where? At the cross. When in self-sacrificing love, he satisfies the justice of God against sin as he dies in my place, bearing the wrath of God. The Son of Man is also called the verdict giver. In John 5, another verse here where it uses that title, the Son of Man, he's speaking about his Father and he says, the Father has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. The Son of Man is the heaven opener, he's the God glorifier, but he's also the verdict giver. The Bible promises that there's a day of judgment ahead for everyone. Everyone who's ever lived will be there. They will stand in the dock of God's court, and the Son of Man will give the verdict on how we have lived our lives, whether we believe in him or not, and he will be the judge who passes sentence. It is on the say-so and only the say-so of the Son of Man as to whether we will spend eternity in heaven or will face eternal condemnation. It's with those big themes. It's the heaven opener, the God glorifier, the verdict giver that Jesus turns and says to this man and to us, do you believe in the Son of Man? He's not asking if you just believe it in your head that he existed or if there's some kind of intellectual nod towards him. He's saying, do we trust? Do we personally believe that Jesus is the Son of Man? Let me take you back to the actions of the man born blind. In verse 7, when he's told to go wash in the pool of Siloam, but a group participation, what does the man do? He goes. Yeah, really easy. He goes. That is a picture of what it is to trust Jesus, to believe. To trust and believe Jesus is to take him at his word. Just as that man who'd been born blind, who'd mud in his eyes, who was told to go to the pool of Siloam and wash, he did it. That is what it is to trust and believe Jesus. Take him at his word. And so this title, Do You Believe in the Son of Man? It's asking us today, do I really believe that Jesus opened heaven for me through his death on the cross? Do I really believe God's glory was put on display as the eternal Son of God, the Son of Man, was crucified to forgive my sins? Do I really take Jesus at his word when he says that he will judge every aspect of my life on that final day of judgment? And yet he says, as I trust in him, I am totally forgiven and will walk free on that day. Do you and I believe in the Son of Man? Are we willing to put the weight of our lives on Jesus the ladder? This is a personal question. I cannot answer it for anyone else. Can I tell you something else? It's a purposeful question. Right at the beginning of the story, the first couple of verses, the disciples asked the Lord Jesus, is this man born blind? Is that some kind of judgment of God on him or his parents? Did he do something wrong? Well, Jesus said it was neither of those things. Verse 3, this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Jesus says, Jesus making the man well, healing his blind eyes, was a picture of the work of God, that God loves to save and heal and transform lives. But there's also more to the work of God. The work of God in the man's life was not only that he could see again, but it's also displayed in verse 38. Look at what the man says to the Lord Jesus. It's actually the response to the question, do you believe in the Son of Man? Verse 38, then the man said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Had we seen the man at that moment, he would probably have been in his knees, bowing before Jesus. The work of God, according to John 9, in that man's life and ours, it's not just that he healed the man's blind eyes, but the work of God is to make people like us trusting worshippers of Jesus. That's the work of God. How do we recognize God is at work in someone's life? As they trust and worship Jesus, just like that man. When someone can truly, completely say, yes, Lord Jesus, I believe, I trust what you're saying is true. I follow you. And we worship him. Maybe you've never heard this before, but believing in Jesus and worshiping Jesus go together. Do you believe in the Son of Man? That is a purposeful question. Jesus wants us to answer it. Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Third thing, it's a dividing question. Some of the young people here will soon be sitting GCSEs and A-levels, and they think that those are the most crucial questions I will ever be asked in my life. Now, they are important questions, but I have to let you in on a secret. There are more crucial questions to come. But that question that Jesus asked today, do you believe in the Son of Man, is right up there with the most crucial question you could ever be asked. Because the way we answer reveals what side of the divide we will be on the day of judgment. Did you notice as we read through John 9, there's a big contrast going on between kind of the man born blind and the Pharisees, who are almost at kind of pains to say, we're never going to believe Jesus. Like, they're almost at comical turns to saying, Jesus is a sinner. Jesus is a load of rubbish. Doesn't matter what Jesus does. We're never going to believe in him. And you're like, even the man himself was saying, hey, one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. How could that be anything other than from God? But in the eyes of the Pharisees, Jesus couldn't be God. Stubborn hard-heartedness. Even as they put him out of the synagogue, it's not just a refusal of the man, it's a refusal of Jesus himself. And Jesus wasn't surprised. Look at verse 39. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." You may have been here last night, and you may have heard, "Dougie, I thought last night you said that Jesus came into the world to testify to the truth." Or you might have been here last night and thought, "But I thought you said Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world." Well, that's true. But the crucial element is that we believe in the Lord Jesus. He saves all who believe in him. And for 2,000 years, this question, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" has split people into those who refuse to believe, like the Pharisees, and the once blind, now seeing man. The Pharisees thought that they could see spiritually. Actually, in their pride and their stubbornness, they were totally blind. But this newly seeing man, he actually represents all those Jesus gives sight to, all those who have said to Jesus, "Lord, I trust you, I believe, I worship you." And crucially, there's nothing uncertain about the outcome of the way that we each answer Jesus with this question: "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" If you and I believe in him now, Jesus promises to us today that on the day of judgment, we have nothing to fear. The verdict on that day is the same verdict he gives to us today. We will be declared not guilty, and we will be free, and we will enter eternal life. But if we refuse to believe, if we're like the Pharisees, who are just saying, "Jesus, get out," we'll be declared guilty, and we'll be sentenced to eternity in hell. That's why it's a crucial question. The most important question we could ever face. But the wonder of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus, the Son of Man, came to earth to put God on display, to open not just physically blind eyes, but spiritually blind eyes. People like me who refused to believe, who thought, "No, I don't want anything to do with him." And he opened my eyes. And he can open your eyes today as well. The question Jesus asks, it's personal, it's got a purpose, it divides. There's one more thing I want to say. It's ongoing. It's why I warned earlier about the danger of switching off. Because this is a question that I've got to ask myself every morning when my alarm clock called Nathan wakes me up. Will I continue to believe in the Son of Man? How am I supposed to spend each day as a Christian? Trusting that the Lord Jesus is my heaven opener, is the God glorifier, is the verdict giver of my life. Trusting that as I pray, he will be the one who provides all that I need for all that I face. Every day as a Christian, I face a great big battle where I can say, am I going to trust myself and my own strength and my own energy to get through this? Or am I going to believe in the Son of Man? I so often think I can manage myself. One little illness puts paid to that. It may mean that we are treated like the blind man was that day, by friends or family, people who aren't happy that we're followers of Jesus. But like the blind man, whose opinion, whose verdict was the one that mattered most? The Son of Man. "Lord, I believe." And he worshipped him. Do you believe in the Son of Man this morning? Maybe for the first time you want to grab his hand and say, "Lord, I believe." The Bible says that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. If you want to do that this morning, if you want to take the actions of the blind man for yourself and say, Lord, I believe, why not pray quietly with me now? Maybe repeating the words that I say. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, I am guilty of having spiritually blind eyes, of not recognizing you as the Son of Man. Of living against you. Please forgive my sins today. I believe you're the Son of Man who's opened heaven for me, who glorifies God. Who will give my verdict at the end of time. Thank you for dying on the cross and rising again to forgive my sins. Lord Jesus, I believe and I want to worship you now for the rest of my life. Amen.